Your financial choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com, and you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. And podcasts of prior shows are available there as well. You can just go to local programming, look for Your Financial Choices, and see all the topics that we have covered. I think even in recent years, there's quite an extensive list of shows there that you can either download or listen to right there on the spot. And if you have friends, family outside of our listening area, you can share that you can stream online at wdiy.org during our live radio program. Welcome to the show. Today is January 9th, 2019. The markets were up today. The Dow closing at 23,879, the NASDAQ at 69.57, and the S&P at 25.84. Our topic tonight, what to know about Social Security, Medicare, and work. We are live tonight. We'll take your questions. Lori C. is in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, we'll take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments, and while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic, and I will do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. That is 610-758-8810. You can also email us through yourfinancialchoices.com. And if you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can just call in and give your question to Lori. She'll write it down and she'll bring it into the studio. So that's how it works. First, I think it's important to know about our topic tonight, what we're going to do, talking about Social Security, Medicare, and work, and what I mean is kind of at a high level. I thought we should talk about how Social Security works, what it is, and a little bit about Medicare and how that works, and how work impacts those. So I will get questions frequently, I would say regularly, about Social Security, about Medicare premiums, about filing for insurance, and, you know, when to collect Social Security. So I'm not going to talk so specifically about claiming strategies. I thought it would be good to kind of pull back and talk about Social Security. I subscribe to a service called Savvy Social Security by Horse's Mouth. It's a fabulous service, and they provide extensive information on Social Security, calculating and maximizing benefits, and very specific scenarios that one might encounter in navigating the Social Security system. There's just so many nuances to Social Security that it's great to have such a wonderful resource. So as a subscriber, I have available to me certain presentations. And when I started looking at the presentation to kind of prepare for the show and get some information, the presentation was actually so good, I thought, you know, I'm just going to kind of take and run with some of this information. So it's a little bit of a story. That's what I feel like I'm going to be telling tonight, a little bit of a story. But very valuable for people to kind of have some perspective on this and what it all means. So if you have questions about Social Security, of course you can call. But as we go through the show, we may be covering some of those questions that you might have too. But my favorite thing about doing the show is the question. So again, if you do, the phone number is 610-758-8810. So, in general, people contribute to Social Security through payroll taxes or self-employment taxes. And why do we contribute into a Social Security system? It is, you know, it was established so long ago, but it was really to provide for, you know, people who are in poverty or widows and that type of thing. And the system, of course, is, has grown. And now we have more and more people working as far as husband and wives, that type of thing, partners, both couples, if you're married, having both partners working. And it didn't always used to be that way, you know, when the system first started up. So Social Security was to provide a little bit of a safety net, a little bit of a benefit. It was never intended to completely fulfill someone's retirement needs that they had. But it was a system we would pay into. So people contribute to Social Security through the payroll taxes. And if you're working, that's your employer, that's what they call payroll taxes. If you're self-employed, meaning you have your own business, then you're paying the taxes yourself. And in that way, we call them self-employment taxes. So payroll taxes through work and self-employment taxes if we're self-employed. Payroll taxes are assessed on all wages, but up to a maximum taxable amount, which they update annually, and it's based on increases in the average wage. So in 2018, the maximum taxable amount was $128,700, and for 2019, it's $132,900. So the Social Security piece of the payroll tax is 6.2% as an employee, and the employer also pays 6.2 for a total of 12.4. That's called our Social Security tax, or old age survivors and disability insurance. It's OASDI. So if you ever look at your pay stub, and looking at your pay stub is very valuable. You get a lot of information looking at your pay stub, or at least us accountants do. So the OASDI is the Old Age Survivors and Disability Insurance. That is the 6.2 that you as an employee pay. Your employer pays 6.2. And if you're self-employed, you're paying both sides of it. You're paying 12.4. So what's important to know is if you're someone who's lucky enough to earn more than $132,900 in 2019, you would see a little, you know, bump in your pay after you've reached that max, because then they stop collecting on that amount. All right, that's the Social Security piece that you would see on your pay stub. In the old days, it was like one line. They just called it FICA. Then several years ago, they changed it, and I'll tell you why they changed it in just a second. So you're going to see that on your pay stub, but you're also going to see a line for Medicare. So the Medicare tax that we each pay, the employer and the employee, is 1.45%. 1.45% of our wages goes to Medicare. And the employer and the employee both pay that side. And if you're self-employed, it's 2.9. You'll see that on your pay stub. Now, the reason they split it out, if I'm remembering correctly, many years ago, is because they kept the cap on the old age survivors and disability insurance, the OASDI, but they did not keep the cap on the Medicare. So now the 1.45 we pay on all, you know, on our all of our wages, our Medicare wages, what's considered our Medicare wages. So we are paying that on a higher amount. There's no cap on that. All right. So when we're working, so I remember I want to talk about tonight how Social Security, Medicare, and work are impacted. What do we need to know? This is one of the first pieces. If you have questions tonight, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And we are live, so you can call in and ask your questions. If you're not comfortable talking on air, you can give your question to Lori C. She'll write it down. She'll bring it in to me. But if you'd like to talk on air, happy to take your calls as well. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY 88.1 offers many choices and real voices. Folk music, from folk classics to the Gaelic traditions of the British Isles, to bluegrass and old-time music of Appalachia, to the modern-day singer-songwriters telling the story of today's world. You'll find it all here on WDIY. Listen and enjoy the wide variety of folk music every weekday evening, 7 to 9 p.m., just after NPR News headlines, and Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. on 88.1 WDIY and streaming at WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Your Financial Choices, and this is your host, Lori Siebert. If you have questions this evening, you can call in live and talk with us, or if you're not comfortable live, you can certainly give your question to Lori C. She'll write it down and bring it in to me, and I'll do my best to answer. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We're talking tonight about Social Security, Medicare, and work. So I just mentioned that Social Security is this benefit we get in our retirement. It also provides some other benefits. Recall that I had said that when we're paying into it through our payroll taxes or through self-employment, there is this element of old age survivors and disability insurance. So we are kind of giving ourselves maybe a little bit of coverage there. You have to have so many quarters paid in. But I wanted to mention that Medicare that I had talked about and that we're paying into the Medicare system through payroll, that's really paying for our Part A hospital insurance, such that when we retire, or not just retire, but turn age 65, and we apply for Medicare. If we're not working, we go on Medicare as our primary insurance. That's called Medicare Part B. Medicare Part A is the hospital insurance, and that's what we pay for while we're working. And in order to be eligible for Medicare Part A, for the most part, it's considered free. It's as long as the worker has a specified number of quarters of coverage and, you know, file for it through Social Security. So that's Medicare Part A, and that we're not paying for. That's the hospital insurance. That's the Medicare we're paying for while we're working. Once you go on Social Security and or turn age 65, no, not and or, once you're 65 and you apply for Medicare, that's Medicare Part B for your primary insurance, that you pay for monthly out of your Social Security check. And for people who don't file for Social Security but are 65 and getting Medicare, you're going to write a check for that. So I'll talk a little bit more about that later in the show. So first I want to continue my discussion about Social Security and how important it is while we're working to be aware that we're paying into this system and then how it works. So you're working, you're paying in through payroll taxes or self-employment taxes toward this benefit that you'll get when you retire. And retirement has its own definition, too, so I'll get into that a little bit later. If you retire at 59, you're not going to be eligible for Social Security. So retirement in it of itself has its own definition of what that means when you're talking about the Social Security system. But again, you're working, you're paying in, look on your pay stub, you're going to see those two entries for Medicare tax and the OASDI. OASDI gets capped in 2019 at $132,900. They will no longer withhold 6.2%, but the Medicare, they will continue to withhold at 1.45% at a minimum. If you are a high earner making more than $200,000, they're actually going to collect an extra amount, 0.09% of your wages over $200,000, because that's called the Medicare surtax. It's a premium we're paying as a result of the Affordable Care Act to help with that system, okay? So we are earning our benefit, building up our benefit, and eventually when we go to file for Social Security, and if you get your statement, you can go on the Social Security website, ssa.gov. That's the simple way, and it gets you there, ssa.gov, socialsecurityadministration.gov. And if you set up an account called My Account through Social Security, you can actually get your benefit statement. And they'll talk about certain terms like primary insurance amount and full retirement age. And sometimes you're going to hear people talk about this, or you'll see it in literature, the PIA and the FRA. So sometimes you have to kind of know where that comes from. So the PIA is the primary insurance amount, and it's your base monthly benefit. It's calculated at age 62 based on your highest 35 years of earnings, and it's the amount you will receive if you file for Social Security at your full retirement age. So it's calculated at age 62, but it's the benefit you would receive at your full retirement age, and your full retirement age varies, which I'll talk about again in a minute. If you have earned the Social Security maximum every year for 35 years, so remember how I told you in 2019 it's $132,900. If you earn the Social Security maximum every year for 35 years, you'd qualify for the maximum primary insurance amount, which is $3,030 for those turning 62 in 2019. So if they collect at full retirement age, they would get the maximum $3,030. Most people, you know, you're working in high school, you're not earning the average, you know, the top pay. So sometimes you're it's not that common probably for people to have the highest maximum for 35 years, unless someone works for a really long time. If you work less than the 35 years, or if you had several low earning years, you may still have an opportunity to increase your Social Security benefit by working longer and earning more. Full retirement age. Let's talk about what that means. Another definition we need to understand is full retirement age. This is not necessarily the age you plan to retire. Rather, it's the age at which you can claim full unreduced Social Security benefits. This used to be age 65, but then several years ago, to kind of help shore up the system, they rejiggered the full retirement age. So now a higher age is being phased in, and everyone born between 1943 and 1954, their full retirement age is 66. For everyone born in 1960 and later, full retirement is age 67. So those are pretty easy. Where it gets more complicated is for the people who were born between 1955 and 1959, which makes it so hard to memorize these, is because full retirement age for people born between 1955 and 1959, your full retirement age is 66 plus some number of months. So you would have to look at a table for your year of birth, what it is, 66 plus 1, 66 plus 2, so 66 plus 3, whatever it might be. All right, so for people born between 43 and 54, it's easy. It's age 66. And in fact, I think that's those people who are 66 this year. Actually, people who were born in 1953 this year are turning 66. For everyone born in 1960 and later, full retirement age is 67. That is easy as well. It's those other people. So claiming Social Security before full retirement age will cause your benefit to be reduced. Does that make sense? So primary insurance amount is at your full retirement age benefit. If you claim sooner than that, then your benefit's going to be reduced. Your benefit will be less than that primary insurance amount. Now, if you get that statement from Social Security or go on SocialSecurityAdministration.gov and get the My Account set up and see your statement, it typically will show what your benefit would be at 62, at full retirement age, and at age 70. Now, those are all estimates based on your earning record history up to the date that Social Security has that information. So that could change if you're continuing to work and maybe in some of your highest earning years now. Or let's say you were 58, retired from a high-powered job where you were making hundreds of thousands of dollars, and now the last few years you're working, you know, at a card store or something. So those won't be high earning years. So your benefit that they have illustrated may be a little different depending on your earnings record. And it's never definite until you actually go to file. So just watch for that, or, you know, make sure you factor that in. Folks, we are talking about Social Security, Medicare, and work, how they work together a little bit tonight. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices, and we're talking about Social Security, Medicare, and work, what you need to know, how they kind of work together. If you have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810, and questions can also be put through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com. If you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can give your question to Lori C. She'll write it down and bring it in to me. So before that break, we were mentioning that the primary insurance amount is that amount that Social Security calculates based on the highest earning 35 years. Just so you know, the system is set up to kind of skew it toward like lower earners. I won't get into how they calculate Social Security, but your benefit, if you've made, you know, $500,000 a year, might not be as different as you might think as someone who made, you know, $100,000 a year, or someone who's making $100,000 a year. Their benefit might not be as different as someone making $40,000 a year, because the lower amounts have a bigger impact on the calculation. The higher, you know, the more money you make, it adds to your benefit less. Okay, I hope that makes sense. I wasn't probably very fluent on that. But okay, so I talked, though, if you collect before full retirement age, your benefit will be reduced. This makes sense. If you wait to collect, your benefit will increase or could increase. If you think about it from this perspective, after all of these years you've been earning money, Social Security has this pot of money identified for you. If they have calculated that pot of money based on your earnings and your life expectancy, actuarial tables that they use. If you collect early, you're collecting less for a longer period of time. If you collect late, you're collecting more for a shorter period of time. If you collect right based on their life expectancy, then that's how they have actuarially figured it out. So they expect the money's going to be there for you. What happens, though, is you kind of have to know your own circumstances and your health, your cash flow needs, your longevity, your life expectancy, and how that's going to work when you're making decisions about when and how to collect Social Security. I had a question come in from Sally in Easton, off air. She wants me to mention, retiring at 62, you'll get a lesser amount forever. It does not increase at 65. Exactly, Sally. And that is very important to know. And that is something I was going to make sure I mentioned tonight, that when you collect early, thank you, Sally, for that call. When you collect early, you're taking a reduction. It is a permanent reduction. It doesn't go up, you know, when you all of a sudden hit full retirement age. It is a permanent reduction. And what I was going to add to that as well is every year there could be a cost of living adjustment on your benefit. So if you collect early, you have a reduced benefit. And while you might be getting, you know, a 2% cost of living adjustment on your benefit, your friend who waited to collect has a higher monthly benefit. They get a 2% cost of living adjustment. That's going to be a higher benefit that they're going to get because they, you know, the base is higher that they're calculating that on. So you're kind of getting punched twice. You know, you collect early, you take a permanent reduction, and then you're not going to get the same kind of, while you're getting the same percent of cost of living adjustment, you're not getting the same percent on a higher amount. So be wary of that. But Sally, as some people, you have to understand it, it's also their own circumstances. If someone came into my office and told me, you know, they're very unhealthy and they're on their last leg, I might say collect as, you know, soon as you can, depending on the circumstances, and I can see if I can briefly tell you why I might not tell you that. Or if someone has cash flow, maybe they've retired, they couldn't work, you know, they need the money from Social Security, then that might make a difference. So there are circumstances where someone might want to collect early if they're not working and don't have any other cause. Where I might tell someone they might want to wait if they walked in and said they really weren't healthy, if they delayed their benefit a little longer and there's a survivor who's counting on that benefit, then they might have just provided a higher benefit for their surviving spouse. So that's another reason why we might not want to collect. If I am the high earning spouse and I have the potential to make a very good, have a very good Social Security benefit, if I'm not doing well, but I can delay my benefit, I could ensure maybe a higher benefit for my surviving spouse. You always want to look at that and see what the surviving spouse's benefit would be. All right, so sometimes you got to be careful. It's not just planning for you. It could be planning for your survivors as well. All right, so it's important for individuals to know that the age you file determines your permanent monthly benefit. So if you live longer than average, or if there's even a chance you might live longer than average, you will be better off filing later and collecting a higher benefit for life. So that's, again, if you can afford that, all right? So if you can afford to wait and you have longevity in your family and everybody lives to 100 and you're doing pretty well and you're never a smoker and you're a moderate drinker and you have a great outlook on life and you're healthy and great, if then the statistics would show that you would live longer than average, then it behooves you to delay your benefit and actually earn premiums, because if you wait to age 70, you earn 8% a year. So let's kind of put some numbers around this. If you apply before full retirement age, and let's say your full retirement age is 66, so you were one of those people who was born between 1943 and 1954. If you apply at age 62, you'll receive 75% of your primary insurance amount. That's a 25% cut. At 63, so let's say you said, oh, I'm going to wait, I'm not going to cut 62 because I don't want that big cut. At 63, it's 80% of your primary insurance amount. So there's still a haircut, but because you waited at all, you know, it increases your benefit. It's calculated monthly. So it's not like if you collect at 62, it's permanent and it's the same benefit until full retirement age. No, it's monthly calculated. So 62, 25% haircut. At 63, 20% haircut. Now, if your full retirement age is 67, and you apply at 62, that's a 70% haircut. So some people might not have done that equation. I know it was an aha moment for me when I realized, oh shoot, when they raised the full retirement age to 67, that haircut became much larger for people collecting at 62. If you're one of those people who has full retirement age of 67, which means anybody born after 1960. So once you people who are born 1960 or later go to file, if you file at 62, you're going to have a 30% haircut. So that's pretty big. So you want to watch out for that. If you wait until after full retirement age, you do receive an 8% credit each year you've waited. So if you're 66 and you wait to 70, you've got an 8% credit increase each year for those 4 years. If you're 67 is your full retirement age, you would have it for 3 years. that can really make a difference. I mean, sometimes when I see some of the amounts that people are getting for Social Security, and I go, wow, well, they waited till 70. It looks pretty good. Folks, if you have questions, we're at the halfway point. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
This is WDIY Allentown, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. You're listening to Your Financial Choices with Lori Siebert. Your Lehigh Valley weather, currently it's 37 degrees. Tonight it will be mostly cloudy with some isolated snow showers, low around 27. Thursday, more isolated snow showers before 8 a.m. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with a high near 34 and very breezy with winds near 20 miles per hour and gusts up to 40. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low down to 19. It's getting cool. Tune in tonight for WDIY's new show, The Spark, with Michael Judkins, featuring a mix of indie and popular R&B from Lehigh Valley artists to mainstream artists and everything in between. The Spark, premiering tonight at 11 p.m. here on WDIY. We're now going to take you back to Lori and your financial choices.
Thank you, Norm. Welcome back to the show, folks. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. So we are talking about Social Security, Medicare, and work tonight. Kind of just some overview of how these features work together. I just mentioned that if you delay your Social Security to age 70, you get this premium. Again, premiums can benefit from cost of living adjustments as well. So remember, I said that you would get an 8% premium a year by delaying Social Security. Well, you also could get a cost of living adjustment even if you have not filed and collected. So if you're not collecting for those years and there's cost of living adjustments on the benefits, that still is impacting your benefits. So that's pretty good. And I don't know if people realize that either. 2019, the cost of living adjustment was 2.8%. Historical COLAs have varied widely. Social Security Administration projected the cost of living adjustment, they call it a COLA, over their 75-year time horizon is 2.6%. There have been times where people haven't received a COLA. So it's good to know that those can apply and that they apply even before we're collecting. Tom from Easton called in with a question regarding spousal benefits. His spouse is much younger. Does it make sense for him to wait until 70 rather than 67? That's a great question, Tom. And there are a number of factors that go into that decision, but that certainly might be something to think about if your younger spouse would be relying on your resources and including fixed income. So, for example, if you had, you know, several million dollars, it might not matter if you delayed to give her a higher spousal benefit. It would be really a survivor benefit is what I think I would be looking at here. For you to wait to 70, you're giving her a higher survivor benefit because she would be able to file for a survivor benefit after you're gone. She can file for her spousal benefit once you file. So if she is full retirement age. So what happens, Tom, when you have a spouse who's much younger? I'm kind of trying to figure out how much younger here. But if you go and you file at 70 and your spouse is 62, if she went into Social Security to file for her benefit, they would pay her the higher of her own benefit or her spousal benefit, which is roughly half your primary insurance amount. She would not get half of your age 70 amount. She would only get half of your primary insurance amount. So the spousal benefit is based on the primary insurance amount. But at 62, she would still take a haircut because she's filing early. Either way, so either her benefit reduced because she's filing early on her own record or her spousal benefits. So Social Security now is going to go in and look when someone files, which is the higher benefit that they qualify for. Because she's much younger, she may not be, you know, even 62 when you're 70. So let's say at 70 you file, because there's no point in waiting to file after 70. No one accrues more benefit. That's it. So once you turn 70, if someone had waited to file, 70, go in and file. So now you filed, and let's say your wife's 20 years younger than you. You file at 70, she's only 50. She's not filing for a very long time. But then let's say 20 years later, you're 90, she's 70. You're gone. Unfortunately, something happened. You're gone. And your wife is now 70. She could step in for the higher benefit that was left, which would have been that benefit that you earned for her. So that's when she would get that. When you're alive, she's just going to get her spousal benefit. But when you die, she's going to get your survivor benefit. And when someone passes away, they step into the higher benefit available. They don't get both benefits. They just get the higher of the two benefits. So Tom, it was a great question. I hope I was able to answer that for you. But if you have the means, the cash flow, other assets available, and you wait to age 70, you're increasing a benefit for you while you're alive, because your benefit really would be maxed out, and you're creating a higher survivor benefit for your wife as well. But the spousal benefit would be based on the primary insurance amount, so that would not impact that. All right, I hope that helps, and I hope that answered your question. But when she goes to file, they're going to pay her the higher of whichever benefit she would be entitled to. All right. So when we talk about filing for Social Security benefits, there are a number of claiming strategies, a lot of different options depending on how old someone is. I've mentioned this on the past few weeks because I really, really want to make sure people who are turning 66 this year who have spouses who maybe have not filed before, there is still one tiny little, benefit available called a restricted application available to those people who were born in 1953. Those people are turning 66 this year in 2019. You have some special provisions. So I just want to put that out there. Claiming strategies, multiple ways people can file and claim. Want to put that out there. Tonight, I'm not going to talk about all those claiming strategies. It's just kind of awareness. What I wanted to also mention is when people go to file, you have to be cognizant of, if you are continuing to work, that could impact your Social Security benefit. So tonight I also wanted to talk a little bit about how Social Security, Medicare, with payroll taxes, self-employment taxes, how that works, but also how these interact with your work. So if you are someone who is working and you think, oh, I turned 62, I heard I can go file for Social Security. That's like free money. Why don't I go get it? Well, it doesn't exactly work like that. If you're 62 and not working at all and you really need the money, well, that's one thing. You can go file for your benefit and not as much to think about. But if you're someone who turns 62 and are working, you might want to consider whether or not you should file for Social Security, because there are earning limits for people who are under full retirement age. So let's talk about what that means. So if you apply before you turn full retirement age and you earn more than $17,640 in 2019, you're going to have to pay back a dollar for every $2 over that threshold. So if you earn, you're working, you're driving a bus, and you're 62 and you're making $16,000 driving a bus, you could file for Social Security. You don't have to pay it back. But if you make $30,000 and you're definitely over $17,640, that difference between the $30,000 and the $17,000, I'm going to ballpark this, that's what, $13,000. You're going to have to pay back a dollar for every, $2 over. So $13,000 divided by two, $6,500. You're going to have to pay back $6,500 to Social Security. And I believe they take it out of, any future benefits. Sometimes what happens is people will get laid off. They lose their job. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I'm 62. I don't have a job. I need some income. They go file for Social Security. 6 months later, they get a new job. Thank God they're back to their old stuff. They're making $100,000 a year. Well, what's going to happen in that situation is I would alert Social Security immediately, because normally we can't change our, we can change our mind once in 12 months. We, in a 12-month period after we go to file, we can change our mind, and we'd have to pay back everything that we got. And then the Social Security, we act like you never started. Well, another way to get around this is if you work and make, way over the amount, then Social Security is going to stop paying you Social Security. So it's almost as if you kind of, stopped, and then they'll reset it, and then you can start earning, increasing your benefit by your earnings again. Okay. So that is one thing to do. If you file for Social Security in the year of full retirement, so let's pretend I'm going to be a full retirement age. Let's pretend it's 66 and I'm going to be 66 in December. And I think, oh, golly, I'm going to collect my Social Security in January because I'm going to be 66 this year. And I heard that's what I could do. But you're still working. They're going to make you pay back a dollar for every $3 over a higher threshold, which is about $45,000. All right. So they're going to kind of say you're still before full retirement age. So we're going to make you pay back a little bit, but not as much. Now, once you reach full retirement age, you can make as much as you want. You can make $1 million and still collect your Social Security. So if you file at full retirement age, you can make as much as you want. You don't have to pay anything back. All right. So that's good to know. The earnings test, and I think this is important to know, applies to every kind of benefit. So I had to get my arms around this one. Retirement, spousal, and survivor. It may even cause your spouse's benefits to be withheld. So here's an example. If John and Jane are 62 and Jane is getting a spousal benefit off of John's record and John goes back to work, then Jane's spousal benefit will be withheld. Now, I got to tell you, folks, I've been doing this stuff for a really long time. I'm not sure I even would have picked up on that. I don't know if I've even seen it. So that is something you got to be careful of. Let's say you think you're going to go back to work, but you're sitting pretty because, wifey poo's getting, the spousal benefit. We're going to be all set. Well, it might not work with that like that, because if John, in this example, went over the earnings test, then the spousal benefit might be impacted as well. That's what it says here. Jane's spousal benefit will be withheld as well. If you think about it, it kind of makes sense, because the spousal benefit is only available when the, and I'm going to call it the earning spouse, the spousal benefit is only available when the earning spouse files for their benefit. So I guess logically that makes sense. The spouse cannot go in and file for her benefit if and I'm saying her, gender, sorry. If the person receiving the spousal benefit, wants to go file, they can't file for their spousal benefit unless the earning spouse did. All right, so I guess that makes sense. If you go over the earnings test and you both filed, that could be a problem. Now, back to John and Jane's example, though. In this Jane's example, she was getting the spousal benefit, and they said that would be withheld. But Jane might have had her own earnings record. So therefore, they might withhold her spousal benefit if that's the higher benefit. But if Jane qualified for her own benefit, and let's say her spousal benefit was $600, but Jane worked for several years, when she was in college and, later on, working in retirement years. She earned enough benefit that maybe she was earning, her benefit would have been $400. Well, at 62, if they were going to withhold her spousal benefit, she might be able to fall back into her own benefit. All right. So these are kind of some crazy scenarios and things you have to think about. Folks, we're at the last break of the show. Got about 15 minutes left. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. I appreciate Tom and Sally calling earlier. Love questions. And you can talk live on air with us or off air, whatever's more comfortable. And we'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Not only is becoming a WDIY member a great way to support the programs you love, it has its benefits. WDIY members have access to our weekly member ticket giveaway emails. Discover great concerts, theater performances, film screenings, and more, all while supporting the many choices and real voices on WDIY. Make your gift today at 610-694-8100 extension 7 or wdiy.org. Thank you.
Lost my voice for a second. Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices, and we're talking about Social Security, Medicare, and work tonight. And I got to tell you, I love this subject. This is really, there are so many moving parts to this. It's just really, for me, engaging. So I don't know if any of the listeners care as much as I do, but this has been a really fun show for me. I find it just so interesting because there's just so many planning, you know, opportunities around Social Security. It's crazy. One thing I want to make sure I mention as well, that when you go to collect Social Security and file for Social Security recall, I said there's so many different claiming strategies that you can use. Keep in mind that Social Security may be income taxable to you when you collect. So many people are surprised by this. Back way, way, way back in the day, Social Security wasn't taxable. And then they started having, you know, income thresholds on it, and some of the Social Security was taxed, and then over the decades a little bit more is taxed. So it all kind of depends, but I thought, see if I can read this as a little bit of a summary. So depends on how much other income's on your return, what kind of income. They call it provisional income. So it's not even exactly what's on page one of your return in total, like that bottom line page one number we call adjusted gross income or AGI. A lot of people think, oh, you know, if my AGI is this level. But no, there's something else that gets added to it. The provisional income is your adjusted gross income plus one half of the Social Security benefit plus any tax-exempt interest. So when I say adjusted gross income, it's not adjusted gross income plus one half of your Social Security. It's adjusted gross income, if you're looking at page one of your return, without including Social Security. So it's all those other items, your wages, your interest, your dividends, your capital gains, your pension, your annuity, that kind of thing. So your page one income, not including Social Security, but then add back one half the Social Security plus tax-exempt interest. That's what people, I think, kind of forget about or miss. This becomes the provisional income. If provisional income is under $32,000 for a married couple, no benefits are subject to tax. If provisional income is between $32,000 and $44,000, up to 50% of their benefits could be subject to tax, which means that's what you include as your taxable Social Security. If provisional income is over $44,000, then up to 85% of benefits are subject to tax. So Social Security can be taxed anywhere included in your income, subject to tax, up at zero up to 85%. So you have to kind of understand what those income thresholds are, but also what is provisional income. For single people, it's $25,000 and $34,000, those thresholds. And in the case of married, filing separately and living with your spouse, so you decide to to file separate tax returns. Maybe you're worried about your spouse and what kind of business dealings they have, so you want to file a separate tax return, you know, innocent spouse kind of stuff. You want to file a separate return from the spouse you're living with. Your Social Security is going to be taxed at 85%. That's something to keep in mind. So it could be up to 85%, all right? Which is why it's so much fun to do planning, because maybe one strategy that people use is, maybe if you have longevity, you've got plenty of other money, one strategy is you let that Social Security grow, like to age 70, and you use money from your retirement accounts, work down your IRA maybe a little bit by, you know, using some of your IRA money prior to your required minimum distribution. You can still take money out at age 59 and a half. So use some of that money for your cash flow. Let your Social Security grow. You've kind of reduced some of your IRA. Maybe if you didn't need the IRA money, you convert it to Roth. It's a good time to do Roth conversions. And then you collect Social Security at 70. Now you have reduced required minimum distributions from your IRA, and maybe you don't have as much taxable income. So that's kind of the strategies, you know, we'd want to look at. Alberto from McCungie called. Hi, Alberto. Works for a business. Is Social Security affected by a pension or 401k? Is that earnings? Yes. So when you're talking about the provisional income and you're looking at how much of your Social Security is taxed, you would add up all the income on page one of your return, including a pension or a distribution from your 401k, if I'm understanding your question right. So to know how much of your Social Security gets taxed, you're adding up all of those income items on page one of the return: wages, interest, dividends, also tax-exempt interest, capital gains, what else did I say? Pensions, annuities, gambling winnings, you know, other income. You add that up, add half your Social Security, and if it's over those thresholds we talked about, then some of your Social Security could get taxed. If you use software or have a tax preparer, they'll go through those calculations. But there are worksheets available, probably on the IRS's website, that would show you. But, you know, when you're talking, someone making, I don't know, I'm going to have to sit down and calculate what the magic number is, that it's automatically 85%. But let's pretend, you make $90,000. Well, chances, that's probably going to be 85% included. Okay, so I hope that answered your question. Is it affected by, I think what you meant was, is this taxation of the Social Security affected by the pension or the 401k? Now, if your question on the other hand might be, do I get less Social Security because I have a pension or a 401k? No. Does the pension or 401k increase your Social Security? No, Social Security is increased or determined by your earnings over the years, all right? And that is based on your Social Security wages and your Medicare wages. If you put money into a 401k, let's pretend you made $100,000 and you put $20,000 into a 401k, your Social Security wages are still going to be the $100,000, not the federal taxable wages of $80,000. So that is how they calculate the earnings. So I hope in those answers, Alberto, that I was able to make sure I addressed your question properly. This has been a good show, at least for me. Sorry. This is so much fun for me. I just love learning so much and kind of securing it in my brain as well. Kind of have to go over this stuff periodically. And I just think it's really, really important that people understand all of these little nuances before you make a irreparable decision, an irrevocable decision. Let me talk a minute about Medicare Premium Part B. So remember how I said your Social Security can be taxable based on your other income, that what we call provisional income? Well, the Medicare Part B is the premium I told you you pay once you reach age 65 and you sign up for Medicare Part B. It is a voluntary program, but if you don't, if you have other qualified insurance, like through an employer, you continue to work past age 65, then they're not going to penalize you. But it is a voluntary program. But if you don't sign up for it and you wait a couple years till age 67, they're going to like back, you know, charge you for that. So be careful. So Medicare Part B is kind of covering medical, doctors, that kind of stuff. But it doesn't cover people completely. Usually they need to get a supplemental plan as well. It covers about 80% of the benefit, and you need a supplemental plan to cover the rest. So Medicare Part B, typically you reach age 65, you sign up for Medicare Part B. If you're already collecting Social Security, they will notify you months in advance. So if you're someone who filed early for Social Security, because remember, the old Social Security age was 65, full retirement age. Now they've changed full retirement age anywhere between 66 and 67. So some people are not filing for Social Security, but they may need Medicare Part B. So if you are collecting Social Security pre-65, they will automatically notify you. You can sign up through the system. They'll withhold the premiums through your Social Security payment. If you are not collecting Social Security, you need to go on Medicare's website, medicare.gov or socialsecurity.gov. I think you can, or SSA.gov. You can sign up for Medicare through Social Security as well, I believe. You need to do that 3 months in advance. And then you're going to write a check for your Medicare premium. Now, the Medicare premiums, the average is about $130 a month. There's a lot of nuances around that, too, which I can't get into right now, is for people who, there's safety nets for people who are already on Social Security and having it taken out of their Social Security. They kind of cap how much they can take out. If you're not already on Social Security, you're new, if your earnings are higher, then it's $85,000 for single or $170,000 married filing joint, they're going to charge you more. So there is something called IRMA adjustment, income-related monthly income related monthly adjusted amount of your Medicare Part B premiums if you're earning over certain thresholds. I don't know if I have those right handy with me now, but if you earn over these certain thresholds, they're going to surcharge you. There's going to be an extra payment that you have to have on your Medicare premium. So you want to watch and see what kind of taxable income you have on your return. Otherwise, you're going to get a lovely letter in January telling you that your Medicare premiums went from the about $130, $134 maybe to an extra $54. So if you're married filing joint and you're page one income basically was between $170,000 and $214,000. That includes tax. You have to add tax-exempt income to that, too. You'd pay $54 a month extra on top of that. And your spouse would, too, if they have it as well. So those income-related monthly adjustment amounts can be quite hefty. So you want to be careful with your Medicare Part B premiums and the income on your tax return. If there's any way that you can kind of control that, you want to do that. So again, Medicare Part B is something you pay for, typically through Social Security if you're collecting. If you're not collecting Social Security, you're going to sign up for it, send them checks in the mail. You want to do it 3 months in advance. If you're working and you have adequate coverage through your employer, you can say, I don't need Medicare Part B. I've got it through my employer. But guess what? The minute you don't have coverage through your employer, you got to let Medicare know right away, because you can't let that lapse. You got to sign up right away. If all of a sudden you're 67 and you just now have decided to stop working, you're not going to have your employer coverage anymore. Now you're past age 65, so you've got to let Medicare know and get signed up. But generally, it's 3 months in advance. If you were someone who just never filed, then there's certain open enrollment periods for you, and you have to be aware of those. And those I don't know off the top of my head, but get help if you need it. All right, so I hope that tonight, and I don't know if I even covered everything I wanted to talk about, but I did want to make sure that we understood what Social Security was, how we build up our benefit through working, and how we can increase our benefit by waiting to file, and that we get certain premiums and cost of living adjustments on that. and that we coordinate and understand how Medicare works with Social Security and how it works with our work, what we're paying for through our payroll deduction, and then what we have to pay for once we file for Medicare. So, folks, thank you for calling in tonight, listeners. I really appreciate it. I love the listeners of WDIY, and you have great questions. You're smart, you're informed, you're educated and plugged in, so I appreciate that. Next week, I believe I'm talking about transitions and life transitions, life stages, and transitions with work and retirement, and transitions when we lose a loved one, what that looks like, what you have to pay attention to. It's kind of all a process. I want to thank Norm for being here tonight. He's going to sit in for Tom Druckenmiller tonight within the tradition folk music. I want to thank Lori for being here as well. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices, and have a great week.